Hello and welcome to the Film Basement, episode number 5. I'm your host, Pete Tadone, along with Adam Corbett and Ashley Bernhardt. On this week's show, we are going to review and then dive into a spoiler discussion about Alex Garland's Annihilation. Let's go! Showtime! Welcome back to another episode this week, guys. You can find our official website is over at lastgenpodcast.com. You can find the Film Basement as a little group over in Facebook, and you can find this show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. So I want to say hello and welcome to my co-hosts, none other than Adam and Ashley. How are you guys?
Good, now that we're back with the Film Basement.
Yeah, I suck. It's all my fault. If anyone has a thing with it, they can contact me. Basically, you know, we do this when we can, and we can this week. And we actually, Ashley, you were the one who reached out this week because, you know, you saw Annihilation. Did you see Annihilation at the time when you messaged us?
I was planning on seeing it on Sunday night or Monday morning, and I just knew that this movie was going to be something to talk about, just relating to Ex Machina, and I was really excited for it, and I knew it was going to be a discussion to be had.
And then, Adam, this movie kind of got, you know, sort of got some attention because we had seen a bad pattern recently with stuff that is going, you know, to Netflix, where you would generally think it should be a theatrical release, like especially referring to Cloverfield Paradox, which I thought was bad. You know, the next Cloverfield film you would have assumed would have gotten another theatrical release out of how successful 10 Cloverfield Lane was. So that we learned that was going there, and it was like, well, that means it's garbage. Mute, the follow-up, you know, I'm blanking here. Hello, help me out. Moon, you know, and whatnot. Didn't get great feedback. I'm going to see it myself. But, you know, there's been this trend. And then Annihilation comes out and it's like, oh, by the way, in some territories, it's going straight to Netflix. And so that put up a red flag for a lot of people. And this is coming from Alex Garland, who, you know, as Ashley said, you know, the last flick he did was Ex Machina. Personally, one of my favorite movies, sci-fi films ever. Was that 2 years ago now? Or was that was 2 years ago, I think, now that Ex Machina came out.
It had to be, right?
Right? I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like a while ago now.
Time is weird. I don't know what the hell's what anymore. Yeah. But, you know, so did that make you have a bit of a concern?
Not for me personally, because I was reading why this was the case, and apparently it just comes down to a pissing match between the financier and the director, and this was kind of a compromise between the two. So it didn't feel like this was going, like, Netflix is now the dumping ground for direct to DVD stuff. It didn't really concern me.
All right. Okay.
Well, I read that the financier's problem with it was he thought it was too intellectual and it was going to be too complex for the audience. And he asked for like some changes with it, and the producer just refused. Obviously, he's like, no, I don't want to do that. Scott Rudin was the producer, and he's like, no, we're not changing it, which good for him.
Yeah.
But that, yeah. And then again, what Adam said, it was the compromise, unfortunately.
Was he right, though? Ultimately, when it comes down to an audience and what they're willing to accept and not, you know?
You gotta push boundaries. You can't just spoon feed.
I'm not saying it's the right it's the right way of going about things, but was he right?
No, I don't feel he was right.
Okay. You're ready to give people more credit than that.
I'm going to give people more credit than that, and it also, I think, based off my viewing, it invites a second viewing of the movie because there are some questions I had I feel can be answered by watching it again. I don't feel like there was anything left out or two above my head that I said, oh, you know, okay, there's that. So
that sci-fi shit just happened.
Yeah.
I will say, yeah, the things that go unanswered in the movie are not things that bother me. And I also, the things that are go unanswered probably just don't matter very much. You know, something not being answered. I know that everyone likes, well, not everyone, but there are circles of the internet and websites and boring videos that get made that everyone tends to watch about, like, oh, look at these huge plot holes. And it's like, that's not a plot hole. Like, just because you don't agree with what happened or you weren't told explicitly what happened, that's not a plot hole. You know, nothing occurs in the film that is contradictory, you know, to everything that happened before it. Like, that's, those are two very, very different things. And the loss of understanding what a plot hole is, I think, is fucking troublesome. Because I just don't see why it's that big of a thing that you can't understand the basic definition of what a plot hole is. But that aside, we're going to get into a spoiler conversation about this movie, but that's going to be later. You know, we're just going to talk about the movie, our thoughts, you know, is it worth your theater money? Because they didn't give, correct me if I'm wrong, there's no US date for the Netflix release yet, right? No hard one. But
no. I haven't seen
that. One would imagine that once it leaves the theaters, in short time, it will be on Netflix, because it's going to be on Netflix overseas. Okay. So that, you know, if people really want to find it, they can find it no matter what, obviously. But I would imagine there's not going to be that long of a turnaround for it to appear on Netflix. So is this worth going to a theater to see? I think that's a big question about this movie. So Ashley, why don't you get us started and talk about Alex Garland? Well, I mean, actually, first, let me ask you, did you like Ex Machina?
Loved it. Yeah.
Okay.
That was great.
I would say a high bar going into Annihilation, yes. You know? I will say I didn't like the trailers very much. I didn't think the trailers were overtly interesting.
Yeah, no, they didn't, but I'm glad that they didn't. And I just went by knowing his Ex Machina work and just having faith that it was going to be awesome.
If it wasn't from him, I don't know if I would have went to go see this movie in the theaters.
Yeah.
Because that trailer just really didn't do anything for me. So anyways, tell us what you thought, you know, Annihilation.
Well, I thought that it wasn't a typical sci-fi film or even just a thriller action at parts where it could have been, where they really went in depth and they developed the characters. And this is a powerhouse of actresses that I thought they did all phenomenal job of portraying these characters and shaping them. And lighting, the contrast in lighting, like, it's definitely something I feel that you need to see in theaters. The sound, the music in it just went right with the plot.
I want to talk about that sound, by the way.
Yeah, it's... it's just incredible. It's so much about it. I left the theater feeling like the real world felt weird to me. I didn't want to leave it. Like, I was like, where am I now? You know, because they immerse you in the shimmer, which is the world of this. Yeah. So I loved it.
Adam, I want to talk to you about something about the music really quick, and then we can kind of segue into the rest of you. When I watched this movie, there was, you know, there's a lot of guitar plucking. I wonder if you're thinking what I'm thinking. So I saw, a woman. I mean, Natalie Portman's not a girl by any means. She's a woman. But, you know, woman walking around with a rifle, and I hear this plucking on strings, and there's this weird fungus, like, growing on trees. And I was like, fuck, man, this is the closest I'm ever going to get to a Last of Us game, isn't it? A movie. I thought of it so hardcore. It was one shot in particular. It was just her, and she's walking through, and you saw, like, you know, the buildup and stuff on the trees when you're in the shimmer, and the guitar hit, and I was like, why is this so goddamn familiar? And it took a little while, and, you know, because I didn't have Joel. Like, there's no Joel. There's no man, you know? And then it just hit me. I was like, son of a bitch, I'm thinking of The Last of Us. And it didn't take me out of it, but it was a weird thing that when I got out of the theater, I was like, did the same guy do the music? Which he didn't. So you were talking, you know, you were saying something about sound, you know, tell us what you were referring to, and then, you know, give me your thoughts on Annihilation.
Well, there's two points. One's kind of a spoiler I don't really want to mention before that. It takes place in a house with a few. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And the second is also kind of a spoiler, but I can talk a little bit more about this, is maybe the last 10 minutes while they were in the shimmer. There was some very unique, kind of sounded a little bit like some old was it Hans Zimmer from Inception, you know, the
Brahms.
Yeah. So it had a very distinct tone of its own, and I really appreciated that.
Okay.
But just the general surround sound effects were amazing. They really put you in. I was in the smallest theater at my local cinema, and it still sounded great. But my overall thoughts on the film, this film does what I think more films really need to do. It has me thinking about it well after I've left the theater, even to the point where a half an hour ago, I actually made a connection. I'm like, oh yeah, they did that. And it's going to keep me thinking until at least I see it again. It's going to be like that nagging itch where like, oh, was I right? Was I right? You know, I just want to go in and see it again. And, I really liked the film a lot. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too. I thought it was great. I thought that maybe the third act, it goes where it needs to, I would say narratively, but the journey is a little more like wondrous. You know, it's always hard to, you know, when you finally see, like, I would call it a reveal of sorts. You know, sure. When you see, you know, the very center of things, that's hard to ever live up to what your brain has sort of been working up to in the last hour and a half or so of watching a movie. But what they do near the finale of this film is some of the smartest, coolest sci-fi that I've seen in a film in a long time. I was talking to my cousin directly after this movie, because he walked out of the theater and called me. And I will say he has not actually, like, oh, did he text me? Either way. You know, he wanted to know if I had seen it yet. And I said, no, I didn't get to see it yet. So when I stepped out of the theater, I gave him a call right away. And he had, you know, he was like, yeah, people were saying, you know, it's like Arrival. And I'm like, it's nothing like Arrival. I'm like, the point of those two movies could not be further fucking apart. And one of the things that he referenced, Ashley, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
One of the things he said, he was like, well, you know what? There was a lot of flashbacks in it. I'm like, yeah, but that actually doesn't happen in The Arrival at all. Because in The Arrival, you're thinking you're watching flashbacks. You're not. You're watching time as it's perceived by Amy Adams. Well, spoilers, motherfuckers. Sorry. Yeah, whoops. You what? You've never seen it?
I've seen it. I was actually going to argue for your... But go ahead, continue.
Oh, okay. Because you're not actually watching a single flashback in that movie. Yeah. You know, you are watching narrative as the character is expecting it. Now, trust me, even if you've never seen that movie, what I just said makes no sense.
No sense.
So just go watch it and trust me, you'll be fine. But Ashley, you want to argue that it is like, I mean, I'll say in tone and pace, it's like Arrival.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
It's
obviously not plot or anything like that, but the tone, the pacing, it does feel very like Arrival. And I'll wait till, I guess, the spoiler portion to explain why I feel like it's more like Arrival, the feeling of it. So.
Well, I don't think it's like Arrival. Tone is fine, but I mean, it also has, there are scenes that are similar tone of The Godfather, and I don't think this movie is like The Godfather, you know? But there is a movie that, oh, I'm so sorry, guys, but I'm going to make you watch it. I was going to hold off before we dove into the Tartovsky world. I really was. That was going to be a slow build. Well, Annihilation burned all that build, and Stalker is I think the next one. I know we had a path that we were just about to go with Before Sunrise. We're gonna backburner that for a little bit in the spirit of Annihilation and sci-fi films that are trying to tell a larger scope. We're gonna probably dive into Stalker, and you're gonna see a fair amount of parallels in storytelling. And plot, when we talk about Tartovsky's Stalker, you're also going to see some of the longest motherfucking takes you've ever watched without much going on in the frame. But it's just a thing. It's a sluggish 40 minutes, and then things pick up for the next 2+ hours. So we were talking about it more, and this movie was trying to do something nice, you know, to do something good with sci-fi. And I thought that Ex Machina, you know, did that as well, even though Ex Machina is, you know, linear to some other films, and that's fine. But the feel of this movie is very unique, I thought. Towards the look of it, they did a really good job in not just looking like another sci-fi film. I know that there's a building backlash. I know that it's a backlash for, like, you know, alt bros and stuff, but a lot of people are, you know, looking at news and they're like, oh, it's all female cast. Oh, it's an all female cast. Oh, it's an all female cast. And it's starting to feel like stunt casting on a certain level. Like, it's starting to not feel genuine on occasion. Some people are starting to, I see, react, who are not on that side of, you know, the, oh, it's SJ, you know, bullshit, blah, blah, blah. SJW, is that what they call it? Whatever.
Yeah.
It's all stupid shit. But this movie absolutely has everything in it that it needs, because these people are so flawed. I mean, the only person who isn't coming off as someone who just needs to sit down with a psychiatrist is absolutely not the psychiatrist, but our faithful Wong, you know, who shows up in the opening of the film. But there's a lot to unpack in this movie. I think that, I mean, for me, the movie was about fighting your own self, you know, and sometimes losing that fight, you know. But I think it was really about battling one's own self. And then what comes after that? You know, is it a different person? Is it, you know, a mix of what they've been over their life? Is it something that doesn't get better, but kind of goes away? You know, where does it all go? And at the center of it, Natalie Portman does a hell of a job. And Jennifer Jason Leigh continues like this sort of renaissance in her career where she's playing all these really juicy, great roles. But I really thought Tessa Thompson was
I made a huge note about that.
Oof. Yeah, she needed more screen time. That was one of my issues.
I mean, ultimately, it's okay. But see, So Adam, I've heard you say this before recently about another film, and I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Would you rather three scenes too many or two scenes too less? Because the middle ground is almost impossible,
right?
So where would you rather lie on that very swingy pendulum?
I would say probably two scenes too less.
So, like, I agree with you. I would have loved to have seen a little bit more of Josie. Was that her name?
Yeah,
Josie.
Right?
Yeah,
I would have loved to have a little bit more of her. But you know what? I think I know enough about her, and I understand her part in this story, in the greater story, and what Natalie Portman's character of Lena, which I don't know why I really like that name. am I crazy? I don't know why. It's just, I feel.
A nice name.
It's a nice name, and it reminds me of another movie, but I can't pinpoint it.
I kept thinking, since I'm a watcher of Supergirl, I kept thinking Lena Luthor the entire movie, and that was just in my head.
I don't know. I can't remember it. Lena. Anyways, I'll think of it eventually. But I thought that the film brought up some really fun questions that, you know, you can, as Adam was saying, you know, you can discuss this film post. You know, not everything is answered for you, but I do think that you get enough information to find your own meaning. Now, I don't like it when directors say, well, it's up to you.
Yeah.
You probably had a point. I would hope you had a point, you know? I don't need to know it either, you know, because what if it doesn't line up with what I thought? And then I'm like, well, then I guess I misunderstood the whole movie and then it's not very good. You know, Ashley, when you walked out of the theater, you enjoyed it, but did you feel that you quote unquote got it?
Well, I never feel like I get anything, but aside from that, like, yeah, I thought I got it. But then I had a conversation with my sister who had seen it a few days earlier than I had. And I was like, oh, we took away two different things. And then we kind of had a discussion about what actually happened with the ending. So that it is up for interpretation, I feel.
Well, what did you think that sort of the moral conundrum, if that's an easier, well, a way of putting it, at the center of the film. So, like, for me, I thought it was about facing your own self. And I think the movie kind of fucking hammers that home near the end. But I think it has a lot to do with, like, facing your own self and you're your worst enemy sometimes. Even if you're doing what comes naturally, you know, were you on that same path?
I was on that same path with self-sabotage and how we don't even really realize we're doing it. And it's just kind of in our DNA. I totally got that from all of their paths of the characters.
But I also like, I can't really get into that. I guess there's an element to the film that says that accepting fault or accepting not annihilation, but accepting of an end, there's sort of a gracefulness to that as well. Adam, did you pick that up in any particular, did you also feel that way?
Well, once again, it's really hard, but I believe one of the other characters exhibited that exact point. I think you know who I'm talking about. And it was kind of like she was at peace with what was happening, whereas the other members clearly were not. So I definitely saw that point.
I didn't think that anyone else was yee-haw about a couple of things. There's so much to discuss in this film, but there's so much that would be, I feel like you have to tread into spoiler territory to really, gnash into it. So my overall thought is the film has a feel and a role to it from the very beginning. It never betrays that. It kind of sticks to that the whole film. So it's a solid piece of filmmaking. The cinematography is quite beautiful.
Yes, it is.
The acting is solid. There's not a lot of lingering. Like, there are some films that, I guess pretentious would be a word. Adam, I know that, someone you watched a Ghost Story with, that word came up. It felt very pretentious at a couple, a couple of moments. I don't think that this film goes anywhere near that. I'm with you, Adam. I think that people should be given a little more credit. And I think that if I told you, hey, you know what this is? This is a headier version of John Carpenter's The Thing. Go see it.
I would agree with that, except for, I would say, the antagonist part.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense.
No, I agree with you there. But okay. I think that would have been a way to sort of deliver this movie a little more to the masses. I don't think the trailer ever really helped it. But in my opinion, you should absolutely go see it in the theater. I think it's a theater-worthy film. Ashley, you would, really? I'm actually going to go try to catch it again. I think that there's definitely rewards to be had from a second viewing.
Are you
planning on seeing it again, Ashley, before it disappears?
Oh, definitely, because Ryan hasn't seen it yet. He asked me if he should go see it, and I was like, oh, definitely see it in theaters. Like, don't wait until it's on Netflix. So I was like, we'll go again, I'll go with you if you want to see it with me.
So, without ruining it for you and all that, it's a very hard film to kind of talk about. And another weird thing is, if you read reviews online, they just rehash the whole plot for you and then give you their opinion at the very end. I always feel like it's just filler because usually a film review is a paragraph, or unless you're doing you're really getting into, something specific about it. It's a paragraph, a couple of paragraphs, but, to make the page look more impressive, the whole plot is relayed to you just in case you need all of it. So I was okay with the film in delivery. I really like Garland. I think that he is becoming, I saw an article refer to it as a new auteur, and I think that feels right to me. I don't know what his next film is going to be, but I have a feeling that it will be similar in feel and tone as Ex Machina is connected to Annihilation. I also think there's some parallels in the finishes of these films.
Definitely.
From a theme point, So should we just dive into this? This is killing me. Should we just dive into spoilers?
I'm ready.
I really think we have to. So guys, hey, Oscars are this Sunday, a couple of days away. I know that it's cool to hate the Oscars. I get that, Everyone is smarter than everyone. I got it. I enjoy watching them. They're supposed to be dumb and fun. I think they're dumb and fun. I think that, you know, it doesn't matter whether or not one thing wins or another. It matters whether or not you enjoy the film. It doesn't ruin anything. The only thing it affects maybe is some, you know, post sales. That's all it is. 'Cause they get to put a sticker on one movie and not on another. guys, I want to ask you Best Picture. I do want to jump into this really quick, and then we'll don't worry about what was nominated. Well, no, I guess you have to worry about what was nominated. What do you want to see win? And I'll tell you that the nominees are Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, Post, Shape of Water, and Three Billboards. Give me this. Give me what you think's going to win, what should win, and what shouldn't even be there. So, Ashley, why don't you go first?
What I think is going to win, I would say Three Billboards. What I would want to win is Lady Bird or The Shape of Water, and I'd be okay with either of those. I don't think Lady Bird is going to win, and I don't like Call Me By Your Name that much, so I don't even think it should be nominated.
It's the only one I didn't get to see on the list.
Yeah, I don't. I know a lot of people rave about it, and I might be in the unpopular opinion category here, but it was well done.
Does someone poop on someone's poop in that movie?
No, I know. There's something else that happened. Okay. That the whole peach thing that they keep talking about in all of like the media.
Okay.
There's another sort of weird scene like that.
Adam, what about you? What do you think is going to win?
What I think is going to win will be Three Billboards. What I want to win is Shape of Water. And what I don't think should be on the list personally out of the ones I've seen is actually Dunkirk.
Okay.
I think Dunkirk's a solid movie, but it's not a character piece at all. It's you're literally following actions the entire movie. It's good. I love it. I own it on 4K, but I don't think it should be a Best Picture.
Well, I mean, my argument to that is 2001 is not a character piece at all. And that's the greatest sci-fi film ever made.
No, it is not.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I think Three Billboards is going to win also. I'd like to see Shape of Water win. That would be, yeah, I would like to see Shape of Water win. Actually, now, you know, I'm going to say, I think we might get surprised. I think Get Out might win. I don't know why, but this seems like a year where that might happen. And I think that would be, I mean, I hate to say it, but you know, the Academy is always looking for like brownie points. I'm like, see, we're not racist. but I also think it earns it. You know, I think it's definitely up there in like top three or four. Maybe not on my personal list, but of this.
Yeah, didn't you get the memo that racism's not in this year? I believe it's the Me Too movement. So we could get a Lady Bird win.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't think Darkest Hour should be on this list.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, Gary Oldman, yes. Lead actor, absolutely. I also actually think that Robert Pattinson should be up for lead actor, but it's a good movie. It's definitely not one of the best. So I don't know if I answered that question. I'm kind of wishy-washy because I want Shape of Water to win because I'm just a Del Toro fan, but I think Del Toro is going to win director. So I don't really think the Best Picture is going to get to him, but it doesn't matter because it goes to producers, which I don't know if he was a producer on it. He may have been. But I don't know why, but I fucking want to say Get Out. I really want to see that movie win. Just because no one would see that coming. That would be fun. All right, let's go into spoiler lands. Annihilation, spoiler warning, blah, 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 blah. Get out of here if you haven't seen it. Let's talk about spoilers. First thing I'd like to ask you guys is I want to say one word, and I want to see who picked up on this. Tattoo.
Yes.
Adam?
No.
Okay. So
that's one of my questions. I'm not sure I got it.
Okay. I'll say what I saw, Ashley, and then you let me know.
Okay.
If I have anything wrong or if you caught more.
Okay.
When we open in the film, this is obviously after, you know, she went through the hole in the lighthouse and all that. She had that whole sequence. She has the snake eating itself on her forearm, the tattoo. On her, I want to say it's her left forearm. Might have been the right. Doesn't really matter.
I think you're right.
I think so, right? Yeah. When we watch the flashbacks, no tattoo. When we see her with Oscar Isaac and this and that, no tattoo. When they first enter the Shimmer, she's hiding her arms with her sleeves, which the director is telling you to look for that a little bit with Josie, because she's also hiding something with her sleeves. And we're told that, like we're specifically told that. Meanwhile, Portman's doing the same thing. It's because she doesn't have it yet. When we see the soldier who grew into the wall, you know, the one who they cut the stomach open and stuff, his arm is up on the wall. It's got the tattoo. The soldiers had that tattoo, some of them. So he had the tattoo. She still doesn't have it. Later in the movie, when Sarah Rodriguez's character goes a little apeshit.
Gina?
Was that her name?
Gina Rodriguez.
Oh, sorry.
The actress?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want him.
I know, you're right.
Credit where credit is due.
Gina Rodriguez is on you.
She did a great job. Yeah.
She had the tattoo all of a sudden because her DNA was starting to change. After Portman separates from everyone and she wakes up on the beach, she's got the tattoo. She never had it. We never see it on her during the rest of when she's in the Shimmer and stuff like that. Not when she's with Oscar Isaac and the flashbacks. She only gets it in the timeline when she wakes up on that beach. So, my theory is such. That is her, but new. Like, she has fully gone through the transformation, but she still has retained a lot more of herself than maybe anyone else. But she has definitely changed, because that fucking tattoo comes up out of nowhere. Yeah. So, I think that Kane, Oscar Isaac, who we didn't even talk about before, and he's phenomenal in this.
Yeah.
I think he's a total clone. Like, that is not the original. The original burns himself alive.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So at the end, we are looking at, you know, basically the newest version of somebody, the mixed version of a human and whatever this, you know, alien thing was, and their connection. And I think that they go on and this thing continues. I do think that this is the end of humanity, because two of them made it through. But that tattoo comes out of fucking nowhere. And they show it to you in the first 5 minutes of the movie. She's got it on her. And then we do the flashback and it's not there. So that's obviously a heavily altered version of Lena, if it even is the original Lena. Now, what happens in the blackout moments is really the big question. I mean, for all we know, after the first blackout, everyone's a duplicate. Not one of them is their original self when they wake up in the camp. Because we don't know what happens.
Right.
You know, maybe that's why they're changing and stuff, because they're not humans anymore. They are whatever this thing is, and it's still, grabbing, you know, that refraction. So, Ashley, did you catch anything else beyond that, or did you remember something better than I did? Am I fucking something up?
No. Well, you helped me understand the arm tattoo significance more. Your theory, I like it. The thing with you think Lena's a mixture at the end. By the end of it, she's a mixture of the alien and her original self, which makes sense because she has much more lucid ideas when she's out of the Shimmer. Like, she can talk to these people and explain to them. My sister thought she was the original back and had made it back. And I'm like, I don't think she's the original at all. I mean, because we know that Oscar Isaac's character, Kane, that he's not, he doesn't know anything. He can't remember anything. He's like brand new person. So I guess that, you know, that's up for a debate, but I don't know, it makes more sense that she would be a mix of the two, but then she does light the main shimmer on fire. So it makes you think that, you know, that obviously that's not the, that the original still has to be there somehow with Lena. Cause why would a creature from it destroy it? So,
yeah, I think that she is, I think she's almost like the pinnacle of what it could be.
And then they both have the eyes at the end.
Yeah, which is absolutely telling you that they both have, you know, the change is still going on.
Stallion.
So, Adam, you didn't pick up on the tattoo bit, huh?
No, actually, it's funny because I noticed it, especially at the end when, you know, she's fighting herself, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did not pick up on the tattoo at all. And I don't know, I always felt like... She said it herself, like when she's fighting that clone, it was more of, it wasn't attacking her, like it was kind of like she was fighting herself. And but I think it goes a slightly deeper than that, where she puts the grenade in the hand. And at that point, I think the clone is more her. So it's almost like acting, doing something that she would do. Like she would destroy what's there. And then that, you know, I don't think it was the original Lena doing that. She was acting a little too calm for somebody set on fire like that.
No, that's the thing. I don't think that was the original Lena at all.
I know, but a lot of what I've been reading is like, oh no, they're both clones, you know, at the end. And I definitely don't agree with that at all.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
No, but she was affected. Because, you know, she was checking her blood midway through. Everybody goes in there is affected. So no matter what, she could have walked right into the shimmer, right back out. She would have been affected. That it didn't really have to do with the length of time. It was like, oh, you're in. Oh, you caught it. You're.
I don't know. Yeah. Do you think so? See, I feel like you still have to be in that environment for the other DNA to mix with you.
Yeah, I think it would like get progressively worse.
Yeah, you would get a little bit of it though. But then, yeah, I wonder, like in this, like, is there a safe dosage, like quote unquote, you know? but yeah, that's. I mean, that thing at the end with her wrestling with herself, and then understanding, like, oh, it only hit me because I hit it. Like, it does the same exact thing I did. And when she realizes that while she's trying to escape the door, but she can't because not because the thing is blocking her from leaving, but because it's just mirroring what she's doing and it happens to be behind her, you know?
Well, also there's something I also wanted to bring up about the very last scene.
Yes.
Was the whole movie's about humans and their self-destructive behavior.
Yes.
And they hammer that home several times. So when she asks her quote unquote husband, you know, she says, you're not the real Kane, are you? He says, no. He flat out says, no, I don't think so. She embraces him, like knowing full well that that could destroy her, could destroy people. Like embraces.
I don't think
that.
She's the original, though. I think she is either the alien or a mix now. And when he asks her, are you Lena? She doesn't respond. So we don't. I don't think that's Lena there anymore.
You know what, though? I'll argue that she has grounds for doing that, for embracing him.
Let's hear it.
This is her husband without the knowledge of what he knew. It's what she wants. It's perfect for her. She gets back her husband without him knowing what she did with the cheating, with the scientist from Interstellar, who's just got to stay away from science because it's not doing him any favors. I love his delivery. Is it David Gaiassi? He's just so calm. He's like, I think that we should talk about this. Like he could be on fire, and he would just be like, I would really like if we could maybe find a fire extinguisher. Like, okay, I will calmly get you a fire extinguisher. But you know, this is her husband untainted with what she perceived to be him knowing and wanting to be away from her, going on something that he knew he probably would not come back from. Why would she ever want that back? All that guilt, everything else. This is a brand new start for her and someone who partially is still Kane, is still her husband. It may be on a molecular DNA level, you know what I mean? But he's still in there just a little bit. So I think that her embracing him kind of makes perfect sense if it's actually Lena. But yeah. I mean, the other argument is accurate. It's like, if you were the only two species of your kind, you're going to embrace, you know, like you're going to, okay, we're in this together. But I actually kind of think that the other way makes sense for Lena's character, you know, because she's destroyed and wrought by the guilt of what she did. And on top of it, I mean, not only like the initial act of cheating on her husband, you know, but the fact that, well, I mean, the perceived fact that that act is discovered by him and then pushes him to accept something that he knows he's not going to come back from. He was not the first group that went in there, you know, that the trailer did a good job of giving you a shit ton of information. Like, as much as I don't think it's an engaging trailer, Jesus, does it tell you a lot without telling you anything?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of fascinating how all the clips of Lomax, Benedict Wong talking to Lena, that's all from the very last scene of them together. It's not from the opening, not from the opening interview. It's almost exclusively from the last thing. And that should ruin something, in theory, right? But it didn't tell you shit. So I don't know. Is it genius or is it terrible? Well, I don't fucking know anymore. But were you guys satisfied with, you know, with that ending, you know, with going into the hole and this and that? And, you know, the Jennifer Jason Leigh thing, I've got to say that one I was a little thrown on. I'm not really too sure. I mean, was she also like accepting the death? I mean, Adam, were you referring to Josie earlier when you were saying accepting? That was a beautiful scene.
Oh, it was. Yeah. It was. And I loved it. Like, it's a very quick moment. Blinking, you're going to miss it when she's walking away and you just see the green come out of her arms. I loved that moment. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Well, you know, it was happening that whole scene.
Right. I know, yeah. But it was very subtle. Like,
it's really incredibly subtle.
Yeah.
Because Ashley, I don't know about you, but like when that scene started, I was like, man, this chick's really working out. Her veins are starting to really fucking show, like vascular. And I was like,
I was starting to see, I was like, oh, she's coming into the environment, like she's becoming one of these plants. Like, that's immediately the thought that went into my head. And can we just talk about how great Tessa Thompson is? Like,
she was unrecognizable.
Holy crap. Like, this is not the, you know, the one we saw in Thor. Like, this, I am so excited for this actor. Like, I cannot wait to see what else she does, because that was two different people. Like, she embraced that role so much. Yeah. I just, so much admiration. It's crazy.
I'll say right now, I had no idea it was her.
And I'll go a little further. I'll say the entire movie, I had no idea that was Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Are you serious?
I had no clue.
Oh, wow. Yeah, man, she's fantastic in this as Dr. Ventress. Which I don't know why I hear Ventress. I think of Star Wars. I think of Asajj Ventress.
Yeah, me too.
But she was so good in this. And again, you know, one of my favorite scenes, actually, one of my best moments of her character was something that may have gone under the radar for some people. Probably not. But when she's talking with Natalie Portman's Lena, she says to Natalie Portman asks, like, why would anyone agree to do this? And we go into the conversation, which is kind of, I think the emotional crux of the film, about how people are self-destructive without even realizing it. You know, they'll go out and they'll ruin a good job and they'll ruin this or a good marriage, which tells you that Kane, oh, you know what? Shit, that's right. That tells you Kane knew, because Kane talked about it with his psychiatrist. And Jennifer Jason Leigh's Dr. Ventress is directly speaking to Lena at that point when she says ruining a good marriage.
Yeah.
She's specifically telling her, like, I know exactly what you did.
Yeah.
You know, so then that tells you Kane did know. It's not for question. Although it probably really wasn't up for questioning anyway. But I think Portman here really shines. And I'll say that Portman, she stays very, very centered. You know, like Lena keeps her shit together through almost everything. I don't think that Natalie Portman stretches too much. And I also don't think that that's what the role called for, though. She's kind of like disaster zen, you know, in this film. Like, she sees some crazy shit and she reacts accordingly. But, you know, I think that of all the people, you know, she's just in line with everyone else with, you know, sort of accepting that this might be the end, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I also saw her as trying to work towards a conclusion even if she didn't think it was possible. I do think that Lena, like, wanted something to make things right. Or, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, Ashley, do you think that she went in there honestly thinking that she could help Kane? Or did she go in there because in her head she said, you know what? Everyone else didn't come out of there. Because of me, my husband went in there and he didn't come. Or he came back and he's like dying now. He's spitting up blood. It's like the end of La Boheme. You know, I'm just going to go in there, and if I come back, great. If I don't, fine.
I think she honestly goes in there determined to come out with a cure, because she says at one point, I owe it to him.
That's true.
And whether it's the guilt or not, I think she goes in there determined to find something to save him, or it's just her duty now. Like, I have to go in. I don't, even if he doesn't make it out and I make it out, like, it's just kind of, I have to try. And I thought that was kind of her silent determination the entire film. That's why she was such a, not even like a still, silent, strong character, but she had her goal in mind, where I just felt that's what she was trying to do, like get to the next step to figure out what's going on here so that she can get out, because she did owe it to him.
Adam, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Part one would be, what happens to the rest of Kane's team? Part two is, does it matter?
I don't feel that it mattered. At first, when you see the video, I was like, oh God, it's Event Horizon. You know, that's, like everybody.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, you know, my brain went that way too.
but surprisingly enough, I didn't feel like I needed a A to Z follow up. I think maybe a little bit more was needed, because you go from that to literally the lighthouse and like, okay, I'm sure a lot more happened in that time period. You know, we didn't really get it. But I didn't need like a separate, you know, I don't think I need another 30 minutes or 15, you know, maybe just 3 minutes somewhere.
I guess like from a narrative standpoint though, of the structure of the film, we are shit. Does anything happen without Natalie Portman on screen? Literally, does anything happen without her on screen? She's part of every scene.
So
if she doesn't know, we don't know.
Basically. Right, and that goes for the overall story. We don't know anything about the Shimmer that all the characters don't know themselves. Like we're not privy to that information.
Yeah, no, we're never omniscient. We never ever get that angle on that. Ashley, are you okay with having that information withheld?
Yeah, it didn't bother me. I don't think it was the point. I don't care.
No, I'm with you.
I'm like, whatever. I mean, there were a team that went in, and this is what happened to Kane as a result of it. And okay, let's move on to the story.
I mean, for all we know, one or two of them are those, you know, flower figures.
It's true.
You know, I mean, it's a possibility that like one or two of them was like, you know what? I know what's happening now. You know, I have a better idea, and you know, this is how it goes. Let's talk about bears.
Bears.
Ah, creepy.
That was some creepy shit.
Yes.
That disturbed me. That made me more uncomfortable than previous bear scene in the Revenant.
Revenant.
Yeah. This bear is quite more upsetting. That's like, Adam, you were referencing it before.
Yeah.
That screamy thing was fucking creepy.
If you turn the TV off or if you bring this at home, you turn the TV off and you just crank up your surround sound. That is a horrifying sound.
There was a...
Why you do that to yourself?
Actually, there was a shot that I mean, I don't get like scared in movies very much anymore. But there was a shot of Josie, and we get like a POV of her as she's looking up like directly into the bear's eyes. And I was like, yeah, that's fucking terrifying looking. Yeah. That's really terrifying looking. Did you like that, or did you think that was... I mean, Ex Machina's got, it goes some blood, you know, at the end. And this has, you know, its share of that sort of thing as well. Did this movie need that at all?
You're referring to the part where the jaw's literally ripped off?
Yeah. I mean, the whole bear thing in particular. Character. I mean, the whole bear thing in particular. I mean, it's used in the plot for Josie to basically figure out what's up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's all these little things that happen, and she's like, I got an idea. And she's pretty solid on the delivery of it. But, you know, in a film like this, did that throw you off at all? Were you starting to think like, all right, sci-fi horror? Like, does it matter? Does it need this?
I think they could have done away with the only at the very end of the scene where the bear just destroys Gina Rodriguez's character. I can't remember the character's name for that.
Anya.
I think they could have cut before having that jaw torn off. I mean, but I guess it's the reality of the situation. I don't know. I didn't think it was necessary because I already was terrified with the bear sniffing around them. Yeah, it's
pretty terrifying.
So I didn't need that to like send it home. It was already sent home for me. Yeah. That
the other girl, the other woman in all this, Cass Shepard, played by Tuva Novotny, she sort of, you know, she meets like a kind of a quick end, you know, unannounced kind of quick ending. And there was something that I thought was really peculiar about one of the scenes she was in, but it never paid off because she died so relatively quickly, you know, in the greater view of the film. When they're first rowing down the swamp and Cass asks Lena, what's that in your arm? And Lena looks down, she's like, I don't know, some bruising. I must have got it from somewhere. They cut to a single shot of Cass, and she gets this little wry smile on her face and then just looks forward again. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, that shot tells me that she knows something that I don't yet know. But I never get a follow-up on that. That was truly the one shot in the movie where I felt like I was led to think something, and nothing ever came from it. Now I've only watched it once. Maybe it's not the way it played, but geez, I'm pretty sure it's how it was. That was right. I'm not going crazy.
Yeah. I literally just saw it this afternoon and it's so fresh. So
it's fresh.
So yeah, that was really the only part in the film where I felt that there was more information to be delved because we're told visually in the film that there's something else, but we never really get to it. So Cass is sort of a mystery to us in the overall thing. We don't know. Oh, no, it was her daughter. Duh, that's right.
Her daughter's dead, yeah.
I forgot about the daughter thing. See, that's a rivalry. All right. There we go. There's your arrival connection. There's your arrival connection. But yeah, that was the only part in the film where I felt like I was sort of led astray a little bit with the, you know, just the language of the film and not really paid off in that sense. But I genuinely think this is so goddamn good. You know, I like that it's a conversation to be had. I think it's a ballsy movie. I do think that if people just watched it, they'd be fine with it. There might be a lot of people who are like, that was weird, and they'll never think about it again. You know, that's true, of course. But I think that more people would watch it and be like, hey, what'd you think about this? Like, I think that this movie is not... It's not getting the credit or the support, even from like the vocal people who enjoyed it, which that's the majority. This movie is not like, I don't know, this is not that. And I'm really getting tired of that shit where a movie comes out and they're like, I don't know, people seem really split on it. And it's like, what metric are you looking at that it says it's split? and don't say Rotten Tomatoes user scores. Like, what the fuck are you looking at? Because you didn't like it? That means that therefore people are split on it? That's not how that works. The IMDb score has been good. The Rotten Tomatoes score has been good. The reviews I've read have been very positive. Like 7.5, 8 out of 10 of them are positive. So why is it that movies like this fail? Because we had Blade Runner do the same thing earlier, and that had arguably way much more star power. You know, so are we going to get to a point where these movies just aren't made on a large scale because they don't do shit?
I really hope not, but I mean, if they keep not being the box office openers that they need to be, I mean, that might happen. I just think maybe it's a sci-fi hesitancy. That's the only thing I can come up with, is that people in general have like a hesitancy to enjoy sci-fi.
But I mean, and then on the flip side of the coin, we get a film like Shape of Water, which I will say is there are some parts in that movie that might be challenging for just an everyday audience. Fish fucking would be one of them. But
I guess it's masquerading as a fantasy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it's easier to get past people because you say, well, it's a fairy tale, you know, something like that. So I don't know, Adam, is sci-fi doomed to eat itself?
I don't think so, but we also have to keep in mind this is a rated R movie. There's also a little bit of block. I mean, yeah, you have movies that do well, like It and Logan and things like that, but I believe the trailer, as we've talked about, didn't do it any favors. It told you enough to get you there a little bit, but it didn't make me excited to see the movie. And honestly, if I didn't, you know, hear word of mouth about how good it was, I might have skipped it.
Even though it was coming from the guy who did Ex Machina.
I didn't know that until late.
Oh, honestly. Okay.
I just found that out, what, a week ago? And okay. So I think there was, and that might be part of the problem. You know, there's a lot of pedigree behind this, and I don't think they showcase it well as far as marketing goes. And, you know, I think that was part of it, but I don't think sci-fi is in a rut by any means. I think we're on a downslope right now as far as sci-fi goes. You know, Last Jedi got trashed. That's as sci-fi as you're going to get as far as like a mass audience goes.
I don't think it got trashed though. That's the thing. Like, again, like I'll argue that.
Well, no, it's getting trashed by fans mostly, and some critics are kind of trashing it. But
where, you know, that's the thing though. Like, where is that happening?
A lot of like groups, you know, there's the Facebook groups. I see a few.
Yeah, because they all get together in one room and like validate everyone else's thing. But like, when you look at the larger picture, the word on Jedi was incredibly positive.
Yeah.
I mean, when a movie is viewed by 50 million people, 100,000 people may fucking hate it. They're less than a percent.
Yeah. I mean,
they're just loud about it.
That's the thing. They're just incredibly loud about it.
Annoying point. Like, it's so annoying. The loud people about it is ridiculous.
Yeah. I think that's really what it comes down to, is that you're just always going to get, I'm sorry, but like, Rotten Tomatoes with reviewers' reviews, they're weird, because if it's somewhat positive, it's a positive, and if it's negative, it's negative. You know what I mean? Like, there's not much in between ground. Even though for fucking decades we went by thumbs up, thumbs down with Siskel and Ebert, so if it was okay then, I don't really know what the hell the fucking problem is all of a sudden with this. But 364 critical reviews, 329 were positive. It's 90%. That's the thing. Like, I feel that's what I mean by, like, is sci-fi going to eat itself? Because this vocal minority always bitches very loudly. And then everyone's like, well, I'm not going to go see that. People didn't like it. It's like, well, those people didn't like it, but 50 fucking million people did. And if 49 million people were on one side of, and I'm not saying like, more equals right. That's not what I'm saying. Like, everyone to their own opinion. I really don't give a shit. But when there's 49 million people on one side of the building and 1 million people on the other, and we're like, well, I don't know, it's kind of right down the middle. No. Fucking no. And a million people is a lot of people. Like, you can't just say, like, no, well, fuck them. You know, like, that's a lot of goddamn people. But yeah. when the other flip side of the coin is 49, we cannot, as people who talk about this shit, go, no, no, it's 50-50. What the fuck are we talking about? Like, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. I don't care if there's a chat room, you know, on CinemaSins that's talking about, you know, all the shit that they didn't like. Like, I just, it's just silliness. I think that's silliness to me. And I think Annihilation got that same thing where it was like, oh, this is going to go to Netflix. Well, then I guess I don't need to watch it. Why?
Yeah, but they never said it was going to go to American Netflix. They made a big point about saying it's international.
It doesn't matter. You're poisoning the well. You're really poisoning the well when you say that. Yeah. You know?
Agreed.
I mean, shit, there's a lot of movies that come out in the States that they don't really probably need to be released in China, quite frankly. Like, you know, and a lot of them are our biggest franchises. You know, they just don't hit with other audiences sometimes. But I just wish that these communities and stuff, you're getting such good stuff right now. And just the bitching that goes on is so much louder and so much. They'll take time to just continually bitch about something. You know, Adam, me and you, we watch, you know, we read a High Def Digest.
Yeah.
You know, great site, phenomenal site. You know, those guys do amazing work there, in my opinion. I think they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
And the only time that the chat board really gets active recently is, you know, bringing up what you're saying, but when Star Wars comes up. And then it's like all these people out of nowhere are like, this is the fucking worst. It's like, where have you been with every other article that's ever up? Do you have no opinion about anything else? And it's so weird to me. It's so crazy to me that so much time is spent. Like, just don't watch the movie. It's okay. But I really, really wish more people would go see stuff like Annihilation. But I also firmly believe that if 2001, Adam, I get you don't get it. I get you don't like it. If 2001 regularly recognized as one of the greatest films of all time, it could come out next week and no one would fucking care.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, you know? My feelings aside, I do respect what it is and I respect that it has a place. But, you know, for me personally, it just didn't work. But you're right. Like, if it was put out today, you wouldn't even get a matinee. Like, really, yeah. Just...
I don't even think, like, you could put Casablanca, like, wipe Casablanca out of reality and re-release it next week. And it'll be like, oh, this is really, you know, it's kind of cute. I don't know. It's got some good music, you know, but I don't know. It's kind of old time. I don't know. It doesn't really sound right. I don't know. I just feel like there's so many great movies that you could put in front of somebody and they're not going to like it. And that's the thing. It's like everyone has an opinion. And just because a small, loud contingency doesn't like something, doesn't all of a sudden overpower the reality of what it is.
But it could also be the time of year. I mean, there's a couple factors that could fall into this. Like, this could have been released in July and we might have a different story. You know,
it's just... Yeah. Well, I mean, normally February is kind of a dead month, but
yeah.
Marvel decided to fucking flip that game up on its ass and just release one of the biggest goddamn movies in the last decade. So who would have known? I mean, really, what an unfortunate turn of events for everyone else who wanted a movie. And they were like, well, you know, February is usually kind of slow. Like, oh, no, it's not. Like, holy shit. Like, fuck it. When can we release something that doesn't have a $300 million budget and $300 million of advertising money? When do you release that movie? That's why you release them all in December, I guess. And we all have to watch 10 movies in a span of 3 weeks to find out what got nominated for Best Picture. You're like, we do it to ourselves. But hey, no, we really do. We do it to ourselves. Ashley, what about, I mean, I'm sorry, that was a rant. What do you see, like, you know, from what we've seen now out of the performance of sci-fi films and the communities that seem to hate themselves sometimes, but like, what do you think sci-fi, this kind of sci-fi, headier, quote-unquote, sci-fi, needs to do to reach a larger audience? Or, you know, do you have any ideas towards that?
I don't, because I honestly thought Natalie Portman was a draw for people. Like, I thought people, even if they thought the trailer was like, eh, they'd be like, oh, well, Natalie Portman's in it. I thought she was a pretty solid, like, people are going to go see a movie for Natalie Portman, but I could be wrong about that. Apparently, I'm biased towards her. I don't know.
I think everyone respects her, but I don't think that it gets asses in seats. Sound like Jackie. No. I mean, she was nominated for an Oscar almost before that movie like hit theaters, right?
Yeah.
I was alone in that movie. I was the only person, and I went opening weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. This movie is incredible, and it takes. Maybe they just don't think that sci-fi is going to hit on a human level, but like this is what the story is about. It is a human level. There's nothing more by showing us the like inhuman, we figure out why we're human, like what makes us human. And maybe that's the problem is people don't realize with sci-fi, maybe a little bit with fantasy, not so much because I guess it's more of a fantasy that kind of you just like throw out all your logic. But with sci-fi, people have to bring their logic into it. Like they want to know why that works the way it works. And it's not necessarily like, well, that's not necessarily the point. It's not
because
the point
it's
if,
fiction.
Like,
that's the second half of that word is the word fiction.
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares if like the spaceships wouldn't really act like this? What the fuck? What spaceships? What flying fucking spaceships? Like the NASA ones? I guess not. No, right. Yeah, that doesn't work. There's a fucking car going to Mars right now. But yes. You know, the shit that we see in The Fifth Element, maybe it's not the most believable thing on Earth. But that's why it's called science fiction. Why can't we just have fun? What's wrong? Why can't we just have some fun?
Yeah, like recently there was that movie Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Yes.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed that movie too.
Sci-fi flick. I enjoyed it, but it got trashed. Like, it's just, it made no money. I think it was like one of the lower box office big budgets of the year last year.
And you know what? You bring up a great point, Adam. Since when does that matter to fans or the moviegoer? Who the fuck cares if it made money? Yeah. But what you said is incredibly right. You'll see people, well, this is shit. It didn't make a lot of money. Yeah. What are you fucking kidding me? LA Confidential didn't make a lot of money. All of a sudden, that's a bad movie? Like, is that what we're fucking measuring things by? Because guess what? Then Transformers is Citizen fucking Kane.
Exactly.
And it's not. So... Like, I don't understand. Like, that's been a really weird thing. Like, that happened. Not that this is a good movie. Fucking trust me. I'm not saying that. There's a good movie in there, but it's not good. Lone Ranger. That movie died before it even got to the theaters. Why? Because people were like, they spent a lot of money. It's got a really big budget. Who the fuck do you care? Are you paying for it? Like, what do you care what the budget is? What does that matter to you at all? What does it matter if it's not going to make its estimated pull-in on opening weekend? Why does that stop you from going to see a movie? Like, that kind of thinking is fucking crazy. That's crazy talk. We worry about things now. Not we, because I sure as fuck don't. There are people who worry about things now on a business standpoint when it has no effect on their business. Like, all they have to do is just go see a movie and not go see a movie. Did anyone, like, could you imagine... Could you fucking imagine A New Hope, all right? It comes out in the age of the internet. Alec Guinness said this movie was a piece of shit. Harrison Ford said it was a piece of shit. Everyone who's on it said it was a piece of shit. This movie's garbage, and you're going to see it. And then a lot of people are going to go into the theater with their arms mentally crossed already because they were told by other people that before it even came out, that it's no good, that it's a mess. They had to they'd been trying to edit this thing together. It's just a sci-fi stupid thing. And like history possibly changes. Because if you went by pre-word, then Jaws would have been a mess. The triple the budget fucking, no, actually Jaws came in under budget. No, wait a minute. E.T. did. I take that back. Nope, I'm lying. Raiders did. Raiders was the first one to actually come in on budget that a Spielberg did. He was getting a bad reputation for always coming in over budget. And that was one of the big things. That was one of the big promises that George Lucas put on the dealing table so they could retain X rights and get this money and blah, 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 was it will come in under budget or I will pay for it myself. It was something like that. That's how much faith he had in Spielberg doing it on time. But if, like, the shit that happened with Jaws, you know, this new director came in and he's fucking everything up and they got to do all these reshoots, the internet would have buried the movie before it even happened.
I think that's a major problem is that we are judging projects now a lot by before they're even finished, because we're getting the intel on them. Like, when would you ever get the intel on movies made even 10 years ago? So it's almost ridiculous. It's kind of like, how can you make a judgment call on a film that isn't finished or hasn't come out? Like, can you imagine somebody reading a treatment of your script and they're going to judge it on that, and it's not even made yet, and that even happens?
Yeah.
Even the casting. Oh, I don't like this casting. This movie's going to suck. Jesus Christ. What the fuck are you talking about? Calm down. Like, we don't know what they're going to do yet. I mean, yeah, sometimes you hear casting and you're like, ugh. And it turns out to be, ugh. But there's other times where you read something and you're like, that's fucking strange. The pretty boy from 10 Things I Hate About You is going to be the Joker? Fuck you. Guess
guilty.
What? Yeah. Yeah. It's brave of you to admit that. You know, Mr. Mom's going to be Batman? Fuck you. Actually, it happens a lot with Batman now that I think about it. It's like kind of a Batman thing. But, like, you know, think of how many times shit like that would have happened. And, you know, people would have just been like, no, this is garbage. Like, before it even lands. Guys, what the fuck happened with this episode? Like, just enjoy the movies for fuck's sake. Stop
see
reading.
See something, go see it. You
yeah,
like, it
stop
looks good,
reading every update. Who gives a shit how many retakes they did on Solo? Go see the fucking thing. Guess why? Because it's a fucking movie. Who cares? If it's not any good, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. They're not going to steal the movies from you. They're not going to take away Harrison Ford from the originals. Well, I mean, if Lucas was still in charge, yeah. I don't know anymore. But, you know, look, right now, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. You know what? I won't use Star Wars as an example. Let me go to something else. You know, I just like, don't worry. Don't worry. It's all fucking make-believe. It's okay. It's going to be okay. The movies are incredible. Allow them to breathe. Allow them to at least breathe. Like, we all, like, love film so much. And I feel that, you know, we've become, and I will say we on this one, we become so precious about it that we smother it with a fucking pillow. There is so much, you know, just, I feel like people go to the movies ready to get pissed. You know, like, oh, I'm going to fucking hate this thing. It's like, Jesus, well, yeah, I mean, I guess you're gonna. Yeah, because if the movie's got to take 20 minutes just to convince you that you're not going to hate it, fuck, man, then you it's like, that's just way too big of a hill to climb, you know? But I don't know. Fucking go see Annihilation.
Don't wait for it to come out on Netflix. If you have a chance to go see it in the theaters, go see it in the theaters, because yeah, on the screen and the surround sound, it's immersive.
It is. That being said, give me $35 and I'll pay for these kind of movies in my own home. I don't know.
Well, then you have to upgrade your equipment. Like, if I'm going to watch Annihilation at home, gonna need a whole home theater, which eventually I'll have.
I think I'm okay actually right now.
Well, I don't doubt that. Pete has his own.
It would be okay. It would be okay. I would be able to get through it.
Yeah, my meager 55-inch screen, I think I'll be good.
But no, yeah, go out to the movies. Go see Annihilation. I think you'll enjoy it. Well, if you're listening to this part, shit, man, I hope you weren't. I hope you already saw it, because good Lord. I don't know if that's a fucking confusing conversation to try to file without knowing the movie. But I'm happy I saw it. I would like to go see it again. I don't know if I'll have the time to go see it again. Look, guys, I'm sorry. I had the Variety window open for the Oscars thing, and on the right side of the screen, there was a must read. Barbara Streisand cloned her own dogs. Did anyone else read this?
I saw that this morning.
Like, more than once?
Twice. Yeah.
Twice? I think it's like I read D-List did, because it makes me laugh. They just make fun of celebrities. But she was just like, you know you're rich when you clone your dog twice. Like, lifestyles of the rich.
Can I say, that's a thing we can do? We can clone dogs?
You got the money.
I knew we could clone sheep. I guess you can clone dogs
I
now.
Didn't think that we were like letting others outside of a laboratory get these things. Holy shit. This is an incredible amount of wealth. That's all I could think of is like, this is something that I could not ask someone to do, and they'd be like, no, if you just pay for it, it's fine. Like, there's a limit, like, where it's like, well, you have to also be someone and have the money to do something like this. But yeah, she cloned her dog twice.
Just don't see the point. Just go get the same breed. If you, I don't even.
But
know.
What if you could clone your dog and like money wasn't an object?
I wouldn't. He's enough. He's a handful enough.
And this is where Annihilation comes into place. Barbara Streisand's dogs are going to star in Annihilation 2, and it's just going to be about them taking over humanity.
And oh, just one thought also.
Yes.
How much was it very refreshing that the alien quote unquote threat, or not, wasn't even a threat. It was just there. Like it wasn't like a typical villain. Right. It was just there. Like it was just a being.
That's why it reminded me of Arrival, and in the sense that like we shouldn't have to be afraid of the other. Like you got that feeling that the other isn't necessarily destruction, or it could be if they all just clone the humans and kill them off. But
I don't think that they're in this one. I agree with you. I don't think that it's done maliciously. I don't think it was aiming for Earth when it was a fucking meteorite.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think this. I mean, yes. Unfortunately, its mechanism, its function, is probably not great for humanity.
Right. It's harmful by nature, but yes. Not intent.
Yeah, it's not like it's not like maliciously. It's not under the skin. You know,
Oh, the movie's good. Oof.
Have you guys seen Under the Skin?
I haven't, no.
I'm going to save you from Tartovsky. We're going to watch Under the Skin. I'm not ready to pull the Tartovsky bullet yet. It's a hard one.
What's the problem with this Tartovsky? Yeah,
like, most people sleep.
Just long?
Most people just sleep through them. Because there's some like very sluggish moments. No, we're going with it. Stalker. We're going with Stalker. No, we're going to stick with it. I'm proud. I think we're going to be able to get through it. Stalker is going to be what's coming up next for us. But Under the Skin, holy shit. But, you know, Spielberg really kind of was like one of the first big directors to do that with E.T. and Close Encounters, where it's like, you don't have to be afraid of the unknown. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think we should kind of hang with the sci-fi theme for the next few, because we got Ready Player One coming. I'm going to want to talk about that, you know?
Yes. You're right. All right. So Stalker, Tartovsky, that's next up. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks to talk about Tartovsky's Stalker. So you can find that on Filmstruck if you have a Filmstruck account. Beautiful stuff. Filmstruck actually just added a whole new slew of films with a partnership with Turner Classic Movies. We don't have a partnership with them. I just think it's fucking awesome. So till next week, guys, this is Film Basement, and you know, we're gonna go into a zone. We're gonna enter a different zone, a zone of a different type next week, different from the Annihilation zone, but with a lot of parallels in its DNA. You could say that, you know, Annihilation is the annihilated version of Tartovsky's Stalker in some ways. So, I don't know. I guess from me, Adam, and Ashley, why don't we all say goodnight at once so it's awkward? And then we'll see you guys next week. So on 1, 2, 3, and then we say goodnight. How about that? Sure. All right. 1, 2, 3.
Goodnight.
Reach the wizard.